Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
We've all had bad days, right? We've all had those days when nothing ever goes right. From the time we get up, moving on. You know, you get up late because your alarm clock doesn't go off. You've had that happen before. You're like in a panic and you're like, oh, I'm behind already. I'm behind the eight ball. And you're like in a panic and you grab your clothes out of the closet, you run into the restroom and, in the bathroom and you go to take a shower and you turn the water on and there's no hot water. Because the pilot light on the hot water tank went out overnight. And you're like, oh, great. So you're sitting there, you're like taking a cold shower before you get ready to go. And you get out in your car, you get in your car and you take off and you get stuck in traffic. And you know, you're just really impatient because you're behind and you're late and you're stuck in traffic. And you're not even out of your neighborhood yet. And there's a traffic jam, right? And then you finally get to work and you're running behind and you get there and then where I work, you have to have a badge to get into the facility. You have to have a security badge to get in the facility and you realize I was in such a hurry because I got up late and the water was cold and I was figuring out how to deal with the hot water tank that I left the house and I don't have my security badge. What else could go wrong this day? So you find out you've got to walk to the different entrance all the way at the other end of the building to go to the security desk to sign in. And you trudge in there and you walk in and you realize it's Saturday. You didn't even have to get up in the first place. We've all had bad days. One moment things are normal, the next moment our world is turned upside down by unexpected circumstances. Peace one moment, panic, heart palpitations the next. I remember back in 2000, about 18 years ago, it was in July, my dad was having a normal week. For some time he had been having a pain in his side. And it started bugging him enough, so he finally went to the doctor in the summer of 2000. Normal checkup for this nagging ache that he had. The doctor said, hey, we'll do some tests. They do the things the doctors do, and they sent him in for tests. And, you know, one day everything's normal. The next day, he's at the doctor, and the day after that, the doctor calls and says, you need to have major surgery tomorrow. Because we found a cancerous tumor in your colon. And it's pushing up against your liver and it's progressing to the point where we need to get that out of there and we can't wait. You need to show up at Upper Valley Medical Center tomorrow because we're going to do surgery. And we need to remove this cancerous tumor from your digestive tract that's on the verge of spreading and becoming life-threatening. One day everything's normal for my dad. And the next day it's like, hey, later this week, major surgery, 12-inch incision. We're taking 12 inches of your colon out. And after that, after you heal up, there's going to be 6 months of chemotherapy. And then after that, there's going to be 4 more months of, or something like that, of radiation treatments. Scary times for our family. And as we turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 this morning, I want to focus a few moments on this passage, and I want us to see that even on our worst days, even on our worst days, even in the worst chapters of our lives, God is with us. Amen. And God is working. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and Saul, who later we know as Paul, but at this point he's still the villain in the story, and Saul was there, and he was giving approval to Stephen's death. Stephen had just been stoned. On that day that Stephen had been stoned and Saul had given approval to it, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and they mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged men and women off and put them into prison. Those who had been scattered across the land preached the word wherever they went. We look at this, this is like a downer passage, right? I mean, there's a lot of negative circumstances happening within a very few verses in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. For starters, among these negative circumstances, it immediately is all preceded by the public execution of one of the early church leaders. Stephen was stoned to death in public, in the public square, because he preached the gospel for all people, Jews and Gentiles. And he had enraged the Jewish leaders, the Jewish establishment so much, he had enraged them so much that they publicly executed him. They all picked up stones and they started throwing them at him, and he died from stoning. And we could get into all the details about why this happened. But I think what's most important as we kind of look at this episode is to see, and I read this in one commentary this week, that God buries his workmen, but God's work goes on. God buries his workmen, but God's work goes on. We've all had bad days. We've all experienced bad days. And this was a bad day for the church. We don't have celebrations and festivals around what happened in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. This was a bad day for the early Christian church. The very public execution of Stephen was the spark that started a widespread persecution of believers. We read in this passage that led by Saul, who later has an encounter with Jesus, but right now he's still a bad guy. Led by Saul, the Jews were going from house to house, knocking on doors, and if nobody answered, they busted in the door, and they were hauling men and women off to prison if they professed to be believers in Jesus Christ. The church was in one moment mourning for the loss of this loved brother, Stephen, who had just been publicly executed. And in the midst of their grieving, in the midst of what they had just seen happen, they find themselves scattered. Scattered all across the land. We read that they ran from Jerusalem. They ran all the way to Judea. They ran out to the countryside. They moved from Jerusalem even to Samaria. Now, if you were a Jew, even if you were a Jewish Christian, and we heard Brother Bob preach about this past week, Samaria was a place you avoided. You didn't go there, you went around it. But they were so desperate, they didn't have time to go around Samaria. They just went through it. As a matter of fact, they went there intentionally. You know why they went there? To hide. Because no good Jew would go to Samaria. They're trying to kill us. They're in hot pursuit. Where do you go? Go to the place they will think least to look for you. Go to Samaria. They went there to hide. They went there to survive. They went there to escape. This is kind of like an action movie. A lot of emotion happening on this very bad day for the church. These were dark days in the early story of the church. But folks, I want you to see this morning that God used these dark times. He used these dark times and negative circumstances to expand the kingdom and spread the good news of the gospel. Even through the dark times, God was able to use the bad for the good of spreading the news of Jesus Christ all around the world. Jesus had told the apostles, hey guys, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave you. And what I need you to do is I need you to wait in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit falls upon you. Because if you try to go out and you try to do this by yourself, you're going to get beat up. And then the Spirit fell and great things happened, and thousands of people in the church in Jerusalem were saved. The church grew exponentially almost overnight. Thousands of people coming to know Jesus as their Savior. Revival broke out in Jerusalem. Revival was breaking out in Jerusalem just like Jesus said. But Jesus also told the apostles, not only is it going to happen in Jerusalem, But once the Holy Spirit falls on you guys, that this word is going to spread beyond Jerusalem. It's going to spread to Judea. It's going to spread to Samaria of all places. It's going to spread beyond the borders of the Roman Empire to the ends of the earth. Remember his words in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Says it right there. So if you're an apostle, you're one of the church leaders, the church board, in their minds, they would expand beyond Jerusalem in their timing, right? They would do it according to their strategic master plan. And they would do it in alignment with their human-based strategy. But it wasn't to be like that. Instead, there was resistance to the movement of believers in Jerusalem. And that resistance resulted in real-life persecution. Persecution of which we cannot imagine in 21st century America. Bad times, hard times. The kind of days you just want to forget. Mourning, grieving, panic, run for your life, hide, or you'll die. Bad days, dark times, and yet in the midst of the persecution and in the midst of all the dispersion of the body of Christ across all the land, I think it's amazing God, in the midst of all those earthly circumstances, He was still able to work. The kingdom work was still able to proceed. The message of Jesus, the work of the kingdom, was pushed out of Jerusalem and into the world like toothpaste out of a tube. You couldn't put it back in. It was just being squeezed out. As the church was being squeezed through persecution, the word was being spread across the land about Jesus. Had it gone according to the apostles' plans, the church board's plans back then, they probably would have never taken the gospel first to Samaria. That would not have been in any strategy book you'd find at Barnes & Noble's or Lifeway Christian Bookstore. You'd never go to Samaria first. I think their plan was probably like, well, first, we'll keep it here, we'll play within our means, and we'll set up a couple of small group home meetings. Maybe one over in Bethany, over at Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house, because they're good people. We know that they could start a small group and really grow it out of their house. And maybe we could have on the other side of town, we could have a small group meet at over in Emmaus, over in the suburbs of Emmaus. And who knows, maybe as this thing grows, you know, I think part of our 5-year strategy is we could open a coffee shop church in Galilee. It'll be hip. It will attract the millennials. You know, people will be able to come in and they'll be able to drink coffee and listen to the gospel. Yeah, that'll be an awesome strategy. They would have never gone to Samaria first. But under duress, under persecution, under the threat of physical harm, that's what happened. Path of least resistance. And guess what? God moved. We're going to focus on this over the next couple of weeks. If you want to know what I'm preaching about, read Acts chapter 8 over and over. It's a great story. We're going to spend some time here. Even in our worst days, God can work through our circumstances to advance His kingdom. Do you believe that? Even in your darkest day, God can work through our circumstances to advance His kingdom. He can be glorified. It's possible to be on the run from the enemy and still be faithful to God. Amen. It's possible to be facing a life-threatening crisis and see God work through your circumstances. It's possible, even in our worst circumstances that we could ever dream of, it is possible to share the love of Jesus Christ with other people around us, people who need to hear it. In spite of our circumstances, church, will we remain faithful? In spite of our circumstances, will we carry the message of Jesus on our lips in our actions and through our words. God can use our worst days. Our worst days, the lowest of the low. God can take the worst moments in our lives and do some of His most magnificent work for the kingdom.
Amen.
Who knows who can be reached through our hardships and our trials? Sometimes we ask, why God? Why is this happening to me? Maybe it's happening so that others can be drawn to the cross and attracted to the kingdom of Jesus. That's the way God works. That's the way the God of the Bible works. He works through crisis. He works through emergency. He works through red alert. And He draws people to Him through His people as they go through tough times. You may not feel like things are going your way right now. The chips may be down. Your health may be in peril, may not be feeling as good as you want to feel. Your job may be stressing you out. Amen?
Amen.
You may be running for your life. But do we believe, even in times such as these, that God can still work and is still working? In spite of my circumstances, in spite of what's going on, my God can.
Amen.
Even in the face of bad news, my God can. The question is, how do we respond? How do we respond? How do you respond when the heat's on? When the crisis is well on its way? Do our hearts turn to despair? Or do our hearts turn to Jesus? We need to be careful about wallowing in despair when things aren't going the way we think they should go. Do we lose faith in those moments? Begin to question God? Start doubting? Or does our faith increase in these moments of crisis and these moments of trial? The Hebrew writer warns us of this. The writer of the book of Hebrews warns us to not let our hearts become hardened. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, we read, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, even in the midst of the junk you're going through, if you hear His voice, don't let your heart be hardened. Do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my way. So I declared on oath in my anger, they'll never find rest. They're never going to enter my rest because they've allowed their circumstances, their situation, and their time of testing to turn into a hard heart, to turn into rebellion. Hard times can make us cynical. Going through hard times can make us cynical if we're not careful. We can become hard. We can become bitter in spirit. We can become brittle. We can make it all look good on the outside. But really inside, we become cynical in our faith when times get tough. We wind up, listen to me now, we wind up spreading our misery instead of letting the love of Jesus shine through us when the pressure's on. We wind up, listen to me, we wind up spewing poison when things aren't going our way. We get all upset and angry because things aren't going my way. And then, you know, that starts stressing us out and we start pushing it out to other people. Spreading our misery. We start spewing our own poison because we've got an attitude problem because things aren't going our way. We become cynical because we feel stress. We feel tension inside. And that tension and that stress impacts how we relate and interact with other people. And we have a bad attitude. We have a crappy attitude. Can I say that in church?
Yes, you can.
Don't let your heart be hardened. Even in the tough times, during the times of testing, during the dark times, we have to resist the urge to despair. And we have to intentionally choose to put our faith and our trust in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
My God can!
Amen.
I need to make a bumper sticker. We have to believe with our whole heart that Jesus is in the business of saving. We have to believe with our whole heart that Jesus is in the business of making all things new. Because guess what? When He rose into the clouds as He ascended, and the disciples said, goodbye, we'll see you later. He's not just in heaven hanging out. In the book of Revelation, He's busy working. You know what He's doing? He's in the business, I am making all things new. That's not something that's going to happen in the future. That's not a future statement. I am making all things new. God is in the business of making new things. Even in the midst of your crisis, even in the midst of the devastating diagnosis, even in the midst of the loss of a loved one, even in the midst of financial disaster, God is making all things new. Do we choose to see it? Or do we choose to wallow in despair and become cynical and spread and spew our poison or our misery to the world around us?
Yes, Lord.
Help us to choose it. Yes, that's right. And I think it's important to remember this morning that Jesus doesn't cause the bad things that happen in our life. That is a result of a fallen creation and humanity choosing to live in sin. Jesus doesn't cause the bad things, but He's bigger than the bad things. He's bigger than the bad things. And He can use even your worst days. He can use your nightmare to draw us closer to Him. To help grow us in our faith. And to use our circumstances not to spew misery and poison, but to actually spread the good news of Jesus Christ. People are watching how we live our lives, especially when we're in crisis. People watch us. And we're going to be human. We're going to be human. We're going to react in human ways. But do we get back to being people of God, even in the midst of crisis? Do we believe that God can work through my circumstances, even through my nightmare? My God can. This story shows us that even in the midst of hard times, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of stress and downright persecution, our faith matters. Our faith in Jesus matters. My dad was 61 years old when he was diagnosed with colon cancer. And I remember at the time waiting for him at Upper Valley Medical Center to get out of surgery. And I remember when he got out, the incision that he had, the staples in his gut. And I remember that even that day that he came out of surgery and had 12 inches of his colon removed, the nurse was in there saying, come now, Mr. Case, you need to stand up and walk around. Anybody been there? Yeah? You're like, well, I got this thing in my gut and you want me to do a lap? What? I remember there being there with him for that. And I remember over the next 6 months of him going through chemotherapy and going from a 61-year-old, pretty vibrant, strong guy, and when you go through chemotherapy, to save you, it almost sucks the life out of you. Amen. And he was just shriveled down. He didn't feel good. He had lost his energy. He just lost it. Almost sucked all the life out of him. And then after he was done with that, he had to go through radiation therapy for a couple more months. And through it all, I remember my dad had such a great spirit through the whole thing. It was never about him, right? You were there. You saw it. It was never about him. It was always about other people. It was always about other people. It was never about him. It was always about other people, and it was all rooted in a love that came from his relationship with Jesus Christ. Because what was in him came out of him when the pressure was on. What was in him came out of him. What was really inside really came out when the pressure was on. And that's what happens when stress happens in our lives and we feel squeezed. What's really inside the sponge comes out. The way he dealt with that crisis. Why am I sharing the story with you? Because the way he dealt with that crisis in his life had an impact on me. The Lord was talking to me during that time about what I needed to be doing, and I was making some major career decisions at the time. And there was a lot of things in my life happening, but watching my dad go through that crisis in his life drew me closer to God. I was driven to my knees in prayer for my dad. Our whole family was. And that whole situation, watching him deal with that, it brought me closer to that point in my walk where I needed to realize that I needed to go deeper with God. So my dad's trial in my story, my dad's crisis, it actually got me closer, Bill, to my moment where I surrendered entirely my heart, mind, and soul to Jesus and allowed the Holy Spirit to come in me and sanctify me. It didn't happen for a couple more years, but it was pivotal because it started me down this path. It created this spiritual momentum. Watching my dad go through this devastating cancer diagnosis started me, his son, down this path that caused me to go deeper with God, to realize that my relationship was shallow with God and I needed to go deeper and I had things I needed to settle. I would have never gotten there had it not been for my dad's colon cancer diagnosis. God used that to spread the word in my heart and change my life. His faith and his crisis helped me. What? That's the way God works. Even in our worst days, God can work through our trials. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to. A lot of the times things don't go the way we want them to. You know, that's just life. And it's tempting to become cynical and to spew poison and misery all around us everywhere we go. It's tempting to lose our faith and to doubt, God, where are you in the midst of all of this crisis? But friends, those low moments, those moments when we find ourselves in the valley, are the times when God can do his greatest work. And we don't know who it's going to touch. We don't know who it's going to influence. But God, we're on our worst day, God sometimes does his greatest work in our hearts and through our lives, but only if we let him. Amen. Psalm 23. The ladies read it this morning. Pastor Vicki and I didn't talk at all about my sermon this week. I gave it to her. She wouldn't read it. But I come to this point in my message this morning, and this helps me this morning. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, on my worst day, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of the crisis, in the presence of my enemies, in the face of my worst day, you prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows even in the midst of all this junk going on. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And regardless of what's going on here on earth, spiritually, I know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. How do we react when the pressure's on? Even on your worst day, do you believe that God can do his best work? And I think we need to be reminded of that, because I think life can beat us down sometimes with crisis and bad news and stress, that it causes us to become cynics and we get caught up in this attitude of this world where we doubt and we don't believe. And instead of spreading the word of Jesus through the way we live our lives, we spew misery and negativity and poison. I need to be reminded that on my worst day, those are canvases for God to create his biggest masterpieces. Because it happened in my life when my dad was on that operating table, going through that stress and the follow-up, God used that horrible thing to draw me closer to him and helped me come to a place to realize that I needed to go deeper with Him. Impacted my life. God can use you on your worst day to spread the gospel just like He spread the gospel through the church in Jerusalem on that very bad day, the day that Stephen was stoned. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together this morning. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, this morning we just come to You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the encouragement, Lord, knowing that even when we stand in the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear evil nor anything else because You are on our side. Your rod and Your staff, it comforts us. You prepare a table for us in the midst of the crisis. You anoint our heads with oil. And Father, sometimes as we reflect on this message, Lord, I think that sometimes we just need to be reminded that even on the worst days, even in the worst circumstances, that You can and that You are still working. Help us to remember this, Father. Open our eyes to this reality this morning. Lord, give us a "my God can" attitude. In spite of how we're feeling, in spite of our circumstances. Father, this morning, meet us where we are. Help us. Help us to trust You when the chips are down. Help us to trust You when our lives are turned upside down by crisis. Father, this morning, as we come together as a church family, remind us, we thank You for reminding us that even as we walk through the valley, You're able to use our strife and pain to draw others to You. As we maintain our faith in You.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.